It's Black and Abdallah. Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Yesterday that during the Hawks game in Schaumburg at the Boomers Stadium, they had a Blackhawks drive-in watch party.
Oh, yeah. Got to support the team.
How are all teams not doing this?
Well, every team should be doing it.
The baseball team on the south side, why are you not doing this?
I understand
White
why the
Sox, why are you not doing this?
I understand why the Cubs aren't showing it in their park, because you don't want people to congregate in a park. But if you have the drive-in capability...
If you have parking lots, I get it.
Yes.
You should be doing this,
absolutely.
Right?
The White Sox should put up a big-ass screen, have people pull up, show the game, charge $5 a car, $10 a car, bring your own snacks.
Pretty cool. It was cool to see, and you saw the Blackhawks tweeting out videos, people next to their cars watching the Blackhawks win yesterday 6-4 over the Oilers in Game 1 of this qualifying series in the Western Conference playoffs. Game 2, Monday night at 9:30. You, again, if you already bought the tickets for the VIP package or the general admission tickets, $40 to go drive in to watch the Blackhawks play with other people socially distanced at Boomer Stadium in Schaumburg. That game, 9:30 start, Game 2.
Ooh, it's a late one.
You can't go to bars right now and get everyone packed into a bar and celebrate and enjoy the Blackhawks winning games. This is very cool. You can do it for Game 3. The Blackhawks have not announced the watch party information for Games 4 or 5. They will announce that later, but...
They ain't gonna need Games 4 or 5.
I mean, listen, that's a fun thing to see, and I know the Chicago Fire, when they were playing in the MLS's back tour, they had... people in a watch party at Soldier Field in the empty parking lots. It would be nice. I know Schaumburg is not in the downtown area, but I mean, the parking lots at Soldier Field are empty right now. It'd be nice if other sports teams here in the city maybe opened up those parking lots.
The parking lot at Guaranteed Rate is huge.
I know it is, but maybe they don't want people coming to their location. I think people, say we get through this baseball season.
Mm-hmm. And then they make the playoffs and do this?
The Cubs and the White Sox both make the playoffs.
Sure.
That would be cool, right?
Have the watch parties at Soldier Field.
If the teams aren't playing
at the same time, you could have a twofer. You could stay for both games.
Why not?
Cap could have a front row because he cheers for both teams.
Yes. He could go back and forth.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no problem with that.
Someone's got to get him one of those half jerseys. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Someone's got to get him one of those.
Would he
wear it?
Yeah.
Probably.
See, like, the fact that you had to pause and think about it, it seems like a wasted gift.
Well, it's not my money.
Well, I know, because you said somebody.
Yeah.
If you went to the watch party last night, the Blackhawks watch party yesterday afternoon, that is, to watch the Hawks beat the Oilers, give us a call, 312-332-3776. I want to know, how was that experience? Was it worth the money to park and to watch with being around other Hawks fans, other people celebrating the Blackhawks beating the Oilers? Let's go back in time to yesterday on NBC.
The equalizer on his stick. Played around behind. Tried to send. They score! A big shot from behind, and the game is tied. Strong, and it's 1-1. Hawks came back with the Kubalik. Before we got into August now, that a number 12 seed could win this thing. Kane is up. Oh, and Duncan Keith rattled one that becomes the sixth goal of the game for the Blackhawks.
So the Hawks win 6-4. They looked faster, more aggressive. Corey Crawford looked good. The stars for the Hawks showed up. And then the young players also there showing up for the Blackhawks yesterday is Dominique Kubalik. His 2 goals, 3 assists, making moves. You also saw Brandon Saad.
Mm-hmm.
He has a nice game. Jonathan Toews. You know, really, it all came together. And now the pressure's on. The pressure's on Edmonton because this team, you know, you look at having one of the marquee stars in the sport and you're playing at home because that's where this bubble for the Western Conference is located. I feel as if the pressure is now directly applied because you have champions in the other dressing room.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the key is... This team, for the last couple of seasons, have been extremely disappointing. We have talked at length about, is it time to trade away a Patrick Kane and cash in on his ability to continue playing at such a high level in the NHL to get back prospects to build to the future? It is something we've talked about. Because why? Why have we talked about that? Because this team hasn't made the playoffs.
Yeah.
This team isn't what we saw when they were hoisting Stanley Cups over their heads. Now, if they come out in a playoff series where it seems like, okay, your season wasn't very good, but guess what? The NHL wants to include all of these teams that do well on television, much like the NBA trying to include Zion Williamson, even though he's not playing many minutes. If they include the Hawks, I bet these guys look around in the locker room and they say, you know what? We've won championships. We're here. Let's do this. Why can't we do this? And well, I think yesterday we saw in the first period, the Hawks made a statement yesterday.
If I'm not going to tell Edmonton how to do their job because I want them to keep struggling here, but I think that a goalie change is coming because I've seen this movie before, Chris.
Yeah,
I've seen this movie.
What movie is that?
Go back to March 5th when Mike Smith was pulled after four goals on 21 shots. He was pulled yesterday after 5 goals on 23 shots. The recipe is shoot, shoot, shoot. Keep peppering this goalie, Mike Smith, with shots. You saw 6 goals on 42 shots. You have to keep that shot differential up. The Oilers only had 29 shots. You have to keep that up. That's the key to getting this. Don't allow penalties, early penalties. They overcame that yesterday with the early penalty like 2 minutes into the game. But ultimately, you have to keep this offense going. You have to skate fast and just keep them out of the game. And you do that by taking all of these shots, by your veterans stepping up, a lot of your young guys stepping up and doing that. And if they start Mike Smith again, the recipe's there. Just follow the same recipe. Just follow the same instructions. You've built this IKEA thing before. Just keep following the same instructions.
The IKEA thing? Yeah. Come on. They're much more sturdy than an IKEA desk that you put together.
They might be. But my point is, you know, because, and you have to keep scoring because Corey Crawford was good, but he was not great. There are still 4 goals allowed. So you needed 5 and 6 goals yesterday. So you're going to need to keep shooting the way you are and win these games 5-3, 6-4, whatever it is, because you have to keep the pressure on Edmonton because they are one of the best teams in the league. And if you don't, this could end fast.
I'm Chris Black. That's Adam Abdallah. This is we're on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Adam, let's go to the phones. 312-332-3776. Eddie on the north side talking Blackhawks with us here on ESPN 1000. What's up, Eddie?
Hey, guys. How are you? I'll give you my opinion about all the sports that's going on.
Go for
it. Nothing should ever be put in the record books from this season. It's an absolute joke. The only thing that I like about what's going on right now is I can gamble on the games. Both of my daughters played golf at Taft High School. When they were talking to me, they're like, Dad, the hardest thing is everybody's watching me. There's all these people around, and it makes you so nervous and this and that. When you take an element out of a sport like that, it's not the same sport, period. I don't even know how football is going to go on. I can just imagine what that is. But the only thing that these sports things, this is an exhibition season, is good for is gambling. That's it.
So, Eddie, the take here is because there are no sports, the competition on the ice, court, or field is not worthy of your time?
To watch it? No. I haven't watched any of it. You know what I mean? Most of it's not on, like, national TV anymore either. It's ripped out of everything. And there's no more baseball games on there. I yet to see a basketball game on there.
On national TV?
Yeah.
Y'all got TNT where you live?
The Blackhawks were on ESPN. The Blackhawks were on NBC yesterday.
Channel 5 with the rabbit ears. You could watch the Hawks yesterday.
Yeah, and I did.
What kind of cable package do you have, Eddie?
I liked that game too, but I didn't run through it. It's just, the whole, you know, this team's not playing, this team's playing, well, these teams are off. It's a complete circus. How could anything be counted in any record books for anything?
All right. All right, we got you. We got you, Eddie. Thank you for your phone call.
All calls welcome here on Black
All
and Abdallah.
All calls welcome. Eddie, have a TV?
I respectfully disagree with Eddie.
Hey,
like,
he had a take, man. Pressure. He called.
Hey, whoa. He I said all calls shot. Welcome, did I not?
He went for
I
it.
I can respectfully disagree.
But here's the art of the take, right? Even when you're met with information that's factually correct, you double down.
Yeah,
that's
not on my TV.
The national television packages don't have that live sports
what
anymore.
What is ESPN, 203?
TNT.
176?
ESPN, NBC.
My channel just don't go that high.
NBC Sports Chicago. You're right. There are no live sports on television.
I will say
this. You got to double down. That is the key to a great hot take.
I respectfully disagree with about the fans. And I will say that it might be harder to win this season than any other season, because in addition to the pressures of winning, you also have all of this other stuff going on in your head. How's my family doing? Are we safe? Are we following the protocols? Are my teammates following the protocols? Is everybody I'm around safe? Is everybody I'm around taking it seriously? Are we going to get shut down tomorrow? Is this going to be my last game? We've got St. Louis coming in next weekend, or we're going to St. Louis, whatever it is. They were just shut down for three games. There's so much else going on this year that, look, is a 60-game champion, are you going to have home run records and all that kind of stuff? No, of course you're not. But ultimately, it's still going to be a World Series. It's still going to be a championship. There's still going to be a trophy. The NBA and the NHL played 95% of their seasons before the restart, and they added more teams to the playoffs this year to try to get more teams. Yeah, to try to add more revenue, but still try to get more teams in there. This season, these championships are going to be remembered forever because this is a once in a twice, three times in a lifetime ever 100-year pandemic. And people are going to remember this because of when you watch these games, there's no fans. Why are there no fans, Grandpa Black? Well, Jimmy.
Well, little Jimmy.
There was a pandemic.
The pandemic, the great pandemic.
We all had to wear masks. Some people didn't want to, and then, you know, the Marlins didn't play.
Do I have a walker or a cane?
Oh, we're not walking.
Oh, sweet. So it's like Futurama. It's just my head in a jar, and I'm floating.
I don't know if it's a head in a jar,
around.
But we're floating.
That's sweet.
We're definitely floating.
Will Chase tweets the show at Chris Black and at Adam A. Abdallah. There's so much random BS happening.
Yes.
Whoever wins any title in
Absolutely.
Any sport earns it.
Absolutely.
And here's the key. I could understand Eddie's complaint. And once again, appreciate the phone call, Eddie.
All calls
welcome here on Black and Abdallah. And I could see, before we get to the sports, being like, wow, this is going to be weird. It's not going to be the same. I don't know. And all these questions of doubt.
Mm-hmm.
The moment you see live competition and the people who are participating taking it seriously, like LeBron James last night playing, you know, like mm-hmm. going all out in this bubble setting, and you see Patrick Kane and Jonathan Tate going all out, who cares? Like, to be honest, it'd be nice if fans were there. Otherwise, the competition's great.
Yeah.
I love the competition.
Absolutely.
It's fantastic.
And his one correct point, the money still cashes.
It does. That's true. I'm not sure what his cable package is, though, if he doesn't have any live sports.
I mean, the Blackhawks were on NBC yesterday, right?
Just bust out the rabbit ears,
they
Eddie.
They were on
just
NBC.
Just take the rabbit ears and kind of bend them.
Yeah.
Channel 5.
Go
good
to
old 5. Tyler doesn't even know what that means. He's used a remote his entire life. I'm so old. I remember walking up to the TV and having to press a button. Yeah,
we
had one of those TVs.
No, you didn't.
Yes, we did.
No, you didn't.
How much you want to bet?
No.
Sandwich bet?
You didn't.
How many sandwich bets
I'm
you want
sure
to bet?
I'm sure you had one TV that was like that in
we
your
did.
Household.
Yes.
But I don't think that all of your TVs in your household were like that.
Did I say that?
Okay. So you had one old TV.
Yes. So I understand that was a thing.
Okay. Fine. Fair.
Okay.
You kept one old TV in the house.
So no sandwich bet.
No.
Multiple sandwich bets?
No sandwiches.
All right. Coming up next, we will hear from two baseball managers and a hockey coach, and we will figure out who had the most interesting thoughts after the games yesterday. Will they be monotone, or will these managers and coaches, will they give you some spice? Next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
This is Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
Ricky Renteria, David Ross, Jeremy Colleton. All three winners yesterday. In their post-game comments.
Ooh, I wonder what that Chicago parlay would have paid.
Post-game comments. Who do you think is going to give you the most sizzle? Most spice?
Oh, it's not going to be Colleton. Because I know hockey men with their pucks and their skating and the offense and the defense and it's good for the organization.
That's right, the offense. We heard Duncan Keith say that earlier.
He's been a big part of our team all season long. Obviously, he can really shoot the puck hard and he gets it away quick. So, he's been a big part of our offense.
Yeah,
the offense.
The offense. And I think also, like, I don't want a spicy Colleton. I don't know if I could say that on the radio. A spicy Colleton.
I think I ordered that as an appetizer last week.
I don't want a spicy Colleton because you haven't won anything yet. I want the measured, it's game one. It's the, it's great for the organization to be in this. It's game one. We got a lot of work to do. The guys skated well.
Put
Everybody
your head
played
down and
well.
Skate.
Yeah, great job by our vets.
Keep grinding.
The young guys showed up, but, there's a lot of work to be done here. We still got to win two more games.
Now, David Ross probably is going to have the most interesting sound bites, right?
If you haven't learned yet, David Ross is a red ass. David Ross is not putting it up. Like, they asked him about Kimbrel yesterday. He was like, he actually gave the good question. He goes, that's a good question. Thanks for asking that. I'll have to have a talk with him. And it's like, dude, like, he's... I don't know if you can blow up in a Zoom. Can you do the walk-off in a Zoom conference? Can you do that?
Yeah, you can. You could just step away from the camera.
You could even jostle the
video feed, too, if you wanted to. You could just knock it. And then Ricky Renteria. I mean, listen, they won yesterday. The White Sox won yesterday. He doesn't seem to be too fiery, too spicy to begin with.
He's a docile koala bear. He's not going to give you anything. Yeah, he's just a cuddly koala bear.
All right, so Tyler, you put in all of these cuts here of the three, the coach and the two managers. Which one do you think we should go with first as far as trying to figure out if they had the spiciest comments yesterday in the postgame comments?
I would go with actually Ricky Renteria.
On Luis Robert. Here he is. Ricky Renteria, your manager of the Chicago White Sox.
Timmy's been doing that for a while. What's the difference between Timmy and Luis Robert? Everybody wants Luis Robert at the top. They want to see it. Him and Timmy are actually very similar type of hitters in terms of their approach. Luis is a young man who's got a tremendous amount of strength, actually. And you guys saw that when he doubled in the left center field, he was actually falling away on the breaking ball and was able to get the barrel out one-handed and doubled in the left center field. So, both those guys are pretty aggressive. Both the guys I've had at the top are pretty aggressive. And we're very, very happy that Louis had the production that he had tonight. It's a positive builder for him. We'll use it to our advantage, and maybe we can continue to build on it. And as he continues to develop and evolve as a hitter at the major league level, maybe he becomes even more selective as time goes on. But I wouldn't bank on that. I think that, taking pitches is more the consequence of zoning in and laying off certain pitches, which ends up driving pitch counts. And that's because guys are going to start saying, "Man, you know what? Maybe I don't want to throw the first pitch down the middle. I'm going to throw it off the plate a little bit. Maybe you get a ball, and then before you know it, it's two balls." And that's a byproduct. I think based on balls and balls and strikes, it's a byproduct.
Oh yeah.
White Sox, White Sox, go go White Sox, let's go 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 White Sox.
All right, I think a 1 to 10 scale. How would you give that for spice? Yeah.
That was
It sounded
mild,
a bit
mild, medium, or hot.
It sounded like he was going to come out and give you some real strong thoughts on Robert because he has two guys at the top of the lineup who are aggressive, and then it kind of just trailed.
Is milk toast a thing?
Trailed off.
Can I say milk toast.
All right, let's go to David Ross on Tyler Chatwood. Chatwood was outstanding yesterday as the Cubs win, and Tyler Chatwood really here in the start of this 60-game season has been on fire. Here's the manager of the Chicago Cubs, David Ross. Is he going to give us some spice here?
Tyler's in a really good place right now. I mean, he totally in command that entire game right there to the end. Maybe ran out a little steam. You know, we start to get to the back end of these pitch counts with trying to build these guys up. You know, no worries about him going into the inning. He really had good stuff and was in complete control and had a good number. Just a couple that last walk, you know, I think he was mad at himself about that.
David Ross on the insurance runs late. Schwarber with a home run.
I mean, it was a game, really. You know, that big at bat by Schwarbs, you know, the opposite field home run, big walk. Javi was very poised in his last at bat to get on base in front of Kyle. And, you know, Kyle's a dangerous hitter and he's hit some balls hard. That ball, the other base hit he hit tonight was an absolute rocket. I don't know what the exit velo on that was, but he's a strong man, and we've got a real powerful lineup. And that's what happens when you start from pitch one and grind at bats and try to see pitches and are on the attack as far as your approach. You know, good things happen towards the back end. That's and sometimes, you know, we've talked a lot about the bottom of the lineup doing so well. You know, that's a product of the top of the lineup grinding and making it tough on the opposing pitcher.
So that's David Ross. Yesterday the Cubs beat the Pirates. Today for the Cubs, a 1-20 start, Cubs-Pirates. John Lester on the mound for the Cubs, going for his second victory. The White Sox and the Royals today. Dylan Cease looking for his first victory. He'll be on the mound at 1:05 for the Chicago White Sox in Kansas City. Okay, so we heard from the two baseball managers.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. It's a bit dry.
I mean, it's not their job to...
No,
to
I mean, be, but listen, to, we to, got teams that won yesterday.
To dance for us.
Yeah, what else are they really there for? I mean, the numbers do the job nowadays, right? Sabermetrics and the ivory, the computer system spitting out all the
Ivy.
Lineups and whatnot.
Ivy,
what did I say?
Ivory.
Ivory? Well, Ivy. It's same thing.
No.
Different things, but it could be the same.
No.
Could you have ivory-colored ivy?
Nope.
Okay. Well, just asking.
It's like an off-white.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be cool out there on the wall?
No.
Okay.
The ball would get lost all the time.
Which would kind of be cool if you were the team batting, no?
Is slightly off-white.
Scott Wicker Park, you're on ESPN 1000.
Scotty!
Hey, guys. Love your show.
Thanks,
I'm
man.
On my way, actually, early morning Rivers visit. I just wanted to know. Just wanted to know your opinion on some plays for today, baseball or hockey. If you have anything in mind leaning towards, I got some up my sleeve. I just wanted to know your opinion.
What do you have today? What are you liking today?
I mean, well, I heard you on the line. I heard you mention, I could only imagine if you had a Chicago parlay yesterday. I did have one, but I had an extra game on my slate that kind of, you know, effed things up, if you know what I mean.
That'll happen. That last game on the parlay always gets you. That last game always gets you. I mean, the Cubs are a big favorite today, so you might want to bet them on the run line. If you take the Cubs today, I literally was just looking at this. The Cubs are -195 on the money line, but you can get them at +102 on the run line. The Pirates are not good, obviously. That bullpen can get tricky. The over, there's a lot of juice on the over, but I like the Cubs run line today.
Got it. And then what do you think about Cease bouncing back for his first start?
They're a -120 favorite. Oh, that over is a lot. The over under in the White Sox game today is 10. 10. Take the over.
Yeah,
take the over.
I was going to say, I was thinking the same thing. I love Dahl. I agree with you.
Take the over. That wind's going to be blowing. I don't know which direction, but it's going to be windy. The storms are brewing today. The sea is angry, my friend, today, Scott.
You don't know that. You haven't seen the weather.
Huh?
Thanks,
we're
Scott.
Supposed
we
to go golfing
it,
this afternoon. I've done
Thanks
nothing
so
but
much,
look
guys.
At the weather.
You know the White Sox are not playing in Chicago, right? Yeah, exactly. Scott, the games I'm looking at, I like the Bucks -4.5 and the Mavs -6.
Isn't the home team supposed to be on the bottom part?
Listen, man.
Rivers,
I like the
get your blank together.
At least you're studying the weather there.
Get your blank together, Rivers.
Okay, all right. We will hear from Jeremy Colleton. I mean,
that's why I'm a FanDuel guy.
We ran out of time for Colleton. The importance of tying the game early.
FanDuel Sportsbook
trying to figure
app.
Out if he was spicy or
it's
not.
The best app out
compared
there.
To the other managers here in Chicago. We will hear from the Blackhawks head coach next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
I'd like you to meet someone who's really special.
It's Black and Abdallah.
A real inspiration.
Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN underscore Chicago.
Jeremy Colton, Blackhawks head coach last night on the Hawks power play.
Yeah, we did a good job, and obviously we've made it a priority. We spent a lot of time on it, both, you know, during the time off that we had, and then up into, you know, the training camp. So, you know, nice to see the puck go in the net. I thought our guys, they had a shooting mentality, and we recovered a lot of pucks and were able to keep, you know, get those, you know, extended zone time there where we're able to get multiple chances and we broke through. So hopefully we can continue that. Certainly, you know, in the playoffs, there's adjustments made on both sides and they'll make some and we'll make some and we got to find a way to do it again.
Hawks hustle plays, outskating the Oilers yesterday. Here's Jeremy Colton after the game.
We did a good job, as you said, keeping pucks alive in the offensive zone. I think a lot of it was just the work ethic by our forwards to get above the puck so that we're in a good position to you know, keep the momentum going, whether it's pressure or to jump on the loose pucks. And we're able to extend some shifts in the offensive zone, and that helped us both, you know, offensively, of course, but defensively, because then we're not having to play in our end. We know they're a great transition team, so we want to hold them down in their defensive zone as much as we can. And I thought the work ethic of our guys and commitment to do those things was really good tonight.
So that's Jeremy Colton. The Hawks win yesterday 6-4 in the qualifying series, game one of the Western Conference playoffs. Game two will be Monday night at 9:30, Hawks and Oilers. And Adam, really, you know, Connor McDavid scores that first goal for the Oilers, but the Hawks respond in a five-minute set of time in the first period with three goals from Dylan Strome, Jonathan Toews, and Brandon Saad, and really not only jumped on the Oilers but flipped the momentum, and then Toews gets a second goal before the end of the period is over. The Hawks are 4-1 at the end of one, and you know, not only everyone in the hockey world, I think everyone here in Chicago and watching the game were just shocked, because this team that didn't play well throughout the regular season, you show up to this bubble here in Canada, you're ready to go. You have champions in the dressing room. You jump on a team that has a lot of high-powered talent on it. And you look at it, it's like it was a feel-good afternoon because you saw what the Hawks used to be. And hopefully they can continue that on throughout the rest of this series, because I think that would make for a fantastic storyline.
Well, I still think you had people here that weren't confident in the, you know, the 4-1 lead going into the second period. As soon as, you know, the Oilers score 4 minutes into that period, and people were like, well, here we go. Here come the Blackhawks, because no lead was safe in the regular season before the shutdown. You know, you saw the Blackhawks would go out to 2- and 3-goal leads, and then they'd end up losing the game, or it would be a fight to try to win that game. Ultimately, you didn't need 6 goals, but you needed 6 goals yesterday to beat the Oilers. Can you score 6 goals a game? Probably not. But if they start Mike Smith again in goal, the recipe is there, like we've talked about. Pepper the net with pucks, as the hockey kids say. They had 42 shots yesterday. That's great. You want to keep doing that, but you need to find a way. And they've been great against McDavid. Like, they've been able to, yeah, he had a couple points yesterday, or he had a goal yesterday and an assist yesterday. But ultimately, they've played well in doing a good job defending Connor McDavid. It's just a matter of keeping this momentum. And people are saying, you know, like yesterday, Fred and Xander are coming up next. I'm excited about this great Blackhawks win. Xander's like, well, who knows? Maybe the Oilers are going to get their legs underneath them. Well, Xander's coming in here in 20 minutes. He can tell you all about the Oilers' legs. But what if the Oilers' legs never showed up? What if they're still at home? I know they're in Edmonton, but maybe they left them in their apartments or something.
Okay. I don't know what to do with that. That was certainly a take there.
Basically, the people don't think that the Oilers are going to come around and still win this.
No,
I
understand. Yeah. I don't know what you were responding. Your retort with the leaving your legs in the apartment.
You can't say left them at home because they're playing in Edmonton.
Yeah. So
because they're at home.
You're amazing. fantastic.
You got to take the home crowd out of it, right?
I will say this to the Hawks thought that you had about the goaltending and holding on to a lead. You know, with 4 minutes left in the contest, you give up two goals in the 16-minute mark. Yeah, you're right. Like, it wasn't as easy as it should have been with your 6-2 lead that you had heading into the third period. So it is something to kind of watch. Corey Crawford was pretty good, though, based on all things considering in that contest. Here's Jeremy Colliton talking about Crawford and his return.
Through the whole process, there was a lot of uncertainty as far as whether we were going to be able to have him ready to go, when he was going to be able to get on the ice to start practicing. And then once we got him there, you know, how quickly he'd be able to get himself sharp. And so it's been a day-to-day evaluation of where he's at. We don't want to put him in a situation where he's not ready, physically, mentally, reps. So when you have time, you should use the time. And so we've tried to do that. But I thought he was sharp Wednesday, which encouraged us. And then I thought he was good today. Made some big saves, a couple deflections and scrambles around the net that they were able to score. But I think he looked sharp in there. And he's another guy. He'll probably get better the more time he gets here.
So that's Jeremy Colliton. And obviously, they talked about it, the storyline throughout the game. You heard Doc Emmerich and Eddie Olczyk talk about it on NBC. The fact that Corey Crawford tested positive for COVID-19, he wasn't with the team, comes back to the team, immediately jumps in there. You know, he gets the one practice game in, but he looked like he was in midseason form yesterday. And, you know, back to your what was it? The Oilers left their legs in the apartment?
The hotel?
Okay.
Apartment. Wherever they're staying. Can they stay at home since it's in Edmonton?
No, they can't. They have to stay in the bubble.
So they have to stay in the hotel?
Yeah.
Okay. So maybe they did leave them. Maybe they forgot to pack their legs.
So here's what I was thinking watching the game. It is possible that teams with veterans look at the situation in any bubble and they say to themselves, we have a shot that we usually would not get. So then maybe they took it more seriously throughout the entire build-up process to get to the bubble. Like, there is the possibility that the training that the Hawks went into weeks leading up to getting to Edmonton and playing in this bubble, maybe the training that they had ahead of time, maybe the Hawks took it more seriously. And maybe that's why they look so good early and able to outskate, to out-hustle, to outplay the Oilers early in the first period.
They might have, but it would be stupid for any team to take the Blackhawks lightly with the talent that they have.
No, but what I'm saying is, like, it's more of, like, veterans in all of these situations. We've heard from Anthony Rizzo and John Lester from the Chicago Cubs that, like, they, and we've seen people around baseball point to the Cubs handling COVID-19 the best that they've seen Major League Baseball teams handle this situation. And I wonder if that has a lot to do with all this stuff. It's like, if you have veterans who understand the stakes that are involved in staying safe and taking care of your body and getting ready for these bubble situations or these shortened seasons, whatever we're trying to do here in 2020, I wonder if at the end of this, we're going to look back and say, man, all the champions were teams that had vets who, like, from day one, we're taking this very seriously.
I think that, yeah, they can take it seriously, but ultimately, what else are you doing as far as training goes besides some, like, locker room speech from the veterans being like, look, we can do this. We're the Blackhawks,
no,
damn
but
it.
But it's, and, like, we know how it is. It's a day-to-day thing. Like,
yeah.
You can't, like,
you can hold everybody accountable, but I think that the Blackhawks just have talent. They do. They have,
but over the course of the last couple of seasons, we've seen that talent is not good enough.
I understand that, but they have playoff caliber. They have Hall of Famers on their team, and when you get in a short situation like this, within hockey, and anything can happen, you have teams like this that have Hall of Famers on them, that have Hall of Famers that are still playing at an elite level with a slew of young guys who are finally hitting their stride with a goalie who's playoff tested, that you might be able to do something. I think that if you took the Blackhawks lightly, then that's bad on you as far as whether you're a fan or a team.
Coming up next, there's a team in the NBA that no one is talking about, and they made a statement last night. We'll talk about it next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
This is Lucky and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
Download Black and Abdallah on the ESPN Chicago app. Find the Tile, download previous podcasts right there on the app. Thank you to Tyler Aki for producing today's show. Huebner and Xander coming up next from 10 to noon right here on ESPN 1000. There's a team in the NBA that nobody is really talking about until last night, Abdallah, and that's the Toronto Raptors. They beat the Lakers 107-92. But really, it was a clinic in defense and offensive scoring from a team atmosphere where you get four individuals in double figures, but really all five of the starters giving you something. And Kyle Lowry was fantastic. 33 points, 12 of 15 from the free throw line. He had 14 rebounds, 6 assists. Kyle Lowry is not a player that should be leading a team to a championship, but between him and Pascal Siakam, they might be a team that could steal a second championship, a championship in a row, based on this bubble situation, the fact that they play team basketball. Why don't people talk about the Raptors more?
Because Kyle Lowry isn't...
Because of everything I just said, they play team basketball.
Because they team basketball.
Pascal Siakam and Kyle Lowry.
They don't have
and
LeBron or Giannis or James Harden or any of those guys on their team. And everybody kind of assumes that LeBron or, you know, the Lakers or the Clippers or the Bucks are going to win the championship.
Well, the problem with the Lakers is this. Like, LeBron last night, 35 minutes, he had 20 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists. Anthony Davis only had 14 points. Like, in the matchup against the Raptors, Pascal Siakam, he is not at the same level as Anthony Davis, but he's starting to get close, right? Like, he's not yet a superstar, but he is almost a complete superstar. So, like, when you look at the matchup, you'd say immediately on paper, oh yeah, the Lakers have the better names. But then when you see them actually play, like, Siakam could totally handle Anthony Davis last night defensively. No issues whatsoever. And then the point guard depth for the Lakers really hurts them. So when they go against teams that have good point guards, they're going to struggle. And so if you have the good defense, which you could take LeBron and Anthony Davis and kind of limit what they do offensively, and you have an elite point guard, any team in the West with that blueprint should be able to beat the Lakers in a 7-game series.
So you're saying I should jump on 18-1 to win the championship right now?
For the Raptors?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's interesting. Should we do that? Should we get on board? Mm-hmm. Like, how crazy would that be if the Raptors, without Kawhi Leonard, won their second championship in a row? Now, yeah, I like Milwaukee. Milwaukee's very good.
Yeah.
So that would be a great series, but the Raptors had the blueprint of taking Giannis out of a series last year.
They did.
They blocked the paint. And they made Giannis shoot from the outside. And they tried to force everyone else to beat. 18-1 Raptors. Should we get on board with this?
Bet 20 to win 360.
Do you think Waddle would want to be in on that?
Ooh, yeah. Yeah.
You think
yeah.
if you text to, Waddle, like,
let
hey,
me text him right
should
now.
Should we get on some Raptors to win? All right, if Waddle's in, I'm in.
On the Raptors to win it all.
You don't have to talk out your text that you're sending.
It's part of the bid.
Did you send it yet? Because we're waiting.
I misspelled Raptors.
ESPN Chicago's coverage of the NBA is brought to you by Kia. Visit Kia.com to see what it means to give it everything, and by Bet Rivers Sportsbook, which hopefully we can make this bet on the Raptors.
I got it. I've got it up and ready. So, phrasing.
Okay, so outside of the Raptors, like, who are the other dark horses that you would look at to win the title? Like,
I was asked this on Waddle and Sylvie this week, and I was made fun of for saying there are no dark horses. It's the NBA. It's going to be the Lakers, Bucks, or Clippers. It's going to be the Lakers, Bucks, or Clippers. You want to take a flyer on the Raptors? You want to take a flyer on the 76ers? I get it. You've got stars on both teams. I don't like the 76ers.
No.
After seeing them play, I'm out on them. You want to take a flyer on the Rockets? Maybe. Because look, the Lakers are plus 250.
What's the number for the Thunder?
The Thunder.
What do you got on the Thunder?
The Thunder.
They beat the Jazz 80-1. 80-1.
80-1. 80-1.
Should we get weird with that? Oklahoma City Thunder? How strange would that be?
I don't see. Again, they just light $20 on fire or whatever you want to do, and we'll call it a day. I'm still trying to. So Waddle said he's retired from gambling, and what? Now I'm peer pressuring him.
Hold on, is that an official statement?
He didn't lose a lot of money. So Waddle has been. I've been Waddle's not bookie, but I've been his bet placer, and he built up a bankroll, and then lost it all.
Yeah, well, that's what happens. You win some, you lose some. How else do you win again without betting? You can't. If you never bet again, you're never going to win again.
I know. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm telling him.
Now, you could lose. I understand his point there, but you can't win. And that's the key to life, winning.
Are you
really having a full conversation with Waddle?
No.
Pay attention to the show here. You can text him in 5 minutes.
No, it's for the show. It's for a bit. We're trying to get this placed.
All right. Each week here on the show, we talk a lot about the Chicago Cubs, and we have a friend who lives on the West Coast who is
a lot of White Sox today.
A diehard, yeah, but for the bit, we talk a lot of Cubs. It's how we set this up. We have a friend on the West Coast who's a diehard White Sox fan. He used to live here in Chicago. He then moved to the West Coast. He watches every Sox game. He loves the Sox. His name is Brian O'Connor. You can follow him on Twitter at Bro Connor. That's the way it looks on Twitter, BR O'Connor. And so if you follow him, you find out that he does not like that we only talk about the Cubs here on the program. So he feels as if he needs to be our White Sox reporter. And he gives us a report each week to break down the latest from the Southsiders.
Let's go, 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 White Sox.
Bro Connor's proud of you.
Thanks, guys. Bit of an up and down week for the White Sox. But, you know, we are ending on a strong note. Always nice to play the Royals, who are struggling out of the gate, to kind of lift your spirits. Of course, the Cubs get to play them next because, you know, why wouldn't they? They played every other team that seems to be struggling. And I don't know if you know this, but every game is like three games. So the Cubs are actually like, 25-0 to start the year. It's a historic start. This is like the run differential thing all over again. Anyway, Eloy's home run last night was pretty cool. You don't see that every day where it hit the outfielder's glove and then it goes over the fence. Kind of cool to be gifted a home run there. I mean, not as cool as a basket home run in the friendly confines where all you got to do is, poke a ball in the outfield, the wind's blowing out, and all of a sudden you got home runs. Although that's not going to happen for the opponents this year because the Cubs have Cy Chatwood on the roster. I don't know if you've seen him. He's having quite the year. But the only problem is just don't get him to the bullpen, although Major League Baseball's taking care of that because we're going to have 7-inning games now. So Grandpa Rossi will never even have to go to the bullpen. Anyway, thanks for letting me talk about the White Sox.
Let's go, 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 White Sox!
Bro Connor's proud of you!
I mean, it was kind of like 50-50. He got some White Sox conversation in there. I mean,
yeah, I guess.
A lot of Cubs,
I guess.
Cubs angst, though.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what he is.
Going
that's
after,
what he does.
Going after Grandpa Rossi and Cy Chatwood.
Well, and I thought he was going to take a turn there because he was kind of making fun of Aloy's home run.
No, it was great. He enjoyed that.
Listen, sometimes you hit a home run off someone's glove, sometimes it bounces off of someone's head. It's wacky baseball. Anything can happen.
Did Waddle respond to
no,
you? Is he in on the
he responded at first, and then I go, come on, win money with us. And now he's not responding to peer pressure.
So he went dark on you?
He's gone dark on me. I don't even have dots right now.
Oh, he's not giving you the
He's not even
bubble?
Giving me the bubble.
Huh.
That's I feel like if he knew that we were talking about this on the air.
How do you know he doesn't know?
He might.
He listens.
He might be listening.
He's a supporter.
He is, but he probably he
satisfied
might be.
Customer.
He's very satisfied customer.
So so now he's for the bit. Now he's ignoring you.
Now he's probably doing it as a bit to ignore me. That's probably the bit now. The bit is ignoring me. I'm not even getting a little thought bubble.
Yeah,
nothing.
Well, I mean, it's fun to ignore you. Yeah, I don't disagree. I like his play here. It's a smart play on Waddle's part.
I mean, just gamble with us. Why not?
Let's go, 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 White Sox!
Bro Connor's proud of you!
And Tom Waddle.
Yeah, Tom Waddle's proud of us, too.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.